radio.com.
Just what makes that little old ant think he'll move that rubber tree plant? Anyone knows an ant can't move a rubber tree plant.
But he's got high hopes. He's got high hopes. He's got high apple pie in the sky hopes.
So anytime you're getting low, instead of letting go, just remember that ant. Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
Oops, there goes another rubber tree plant.
When troubles call and your back's to the wall, there's a lot to be learned. That wall could fall.
Once there was a silly old ram, thought he'd punch a hole in a dam. No one could make that ram scram. He kept butting that dam, 'cause he had high hopes. He had high hopes. Come fly with me, let's fly, let's fly.
Welcome and blessings, ladies and gentlemen, to those of you with eyes and ears. My name is Jerry Kirk. This is the Offering Gathering. This is January 14th, Thursday, 2010, in pagan time. Today, we are going to try and take care of a little bit of a house cleaning type of problem. After I get through with a responsibility and a duty that is required. Our Father who art in heaven, I praise you and bless you as I praise and bless your only begotten Son, the Christ. I thank you so much for my individual life that has changed so much in the last 60 days. The last 60 days of my life have been the best of all the days of my life. Even if I were to take individual days and group them together, they don't even come close to the last 60 days. Father, I hope that this can be translated to those with eyes and ears. Thank you so very much, and I praise you and your only begotten Son forever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, I mentioned to you that this was January 14th, Thursday, 2010, and I also said it was, pagan time. Incorrect time. This is the 111th Jubilee, the third week, the fourth year, the 11th month, and the 12th day. Now, with respect to the 111th Jubilee, I am about 95% sure that's correct. And if I am wrong, I'm only wrong by one. The maximum is 112. Now, with respect to the third week and the fourth year, that is a study type of thing, and I could possibly be only 60 or 70% correct. However, with respect to the 11th month and the 12th day, I will abundantly assure you that I have measured that, and I stand 100% convinced that it is correct based on measurement. I bring this up because it is very important, and the most important subject is time. So, a little touch last week about my age, a little touch this week about the proper time and the Lord's time. When an individual reads the book of Jubilee, they will understand the Lord's counting. We're not going into that subject today, just to whet your appetite a little bit. Now, last week we had a couple little problems, and for a first, inaugural type deal, I didn't think they were all that bad. However, I take responsibility for those items. Number one, there was some confusion on behalf of some individuals as to when the archives, which are prepaid for and free, would go up. I didn't know when they would go up. I'm certain that the First Amendment radio staff doesn't have 25 people standing around having coffee, so they probably were going to get it up, you know, a day or two later. They're not going to instantly, when this, you know, 1 hour is up, put up the archive. They have a schedule, and they're going to try and maintain their schedule. Just that simple. The archives, I've been assured by other individuals who've actually, you know, listened to them, they are up and they are free. Likewise, just a reminder, I sell nothing, I charge nothing, and you may not send me a monetary donation. The donation that you may make is to learn some material, adjust your head, get under the proper jurisdiction, learn how to come out of Babylon, which is one of the essence of this one-hour little adventure, and share it with your neighbors in whatever fashion you're able to, 5-10 minutes a week, whatever you think is reasonable. You know, me, myself, you know, I think an hour or two is what I try to do every week, not counting this little adventure 1 hour. Now, last week something did happen, and I was unable to hear the telephone caller and people that were calling in. I did talk to two people that tried to call in and had problems. We're going to try and work on that at about 10 minutes after the hour. And so if the folks in the station are listening, I'm expecting a call in at about 10 minutes after the top of the hour to work on that. I did briefly hear a gentleman, I think from Columbus, Ohio, asked to talk for me to repeat something about the skin cancer program, and I think I heard Galgenol and gauze. That's what I heard. I did not hear that the man did not have a computer to be able to go to the freedom-school.com to get the 2.5 pages. I didn't hear that. I didn't hear a response from him, so I can only apologize that I couldn't hear, and maybe they needed to dial up the volume for me. And I would hope, sir, that you would be able to contact some friend or some neighbor or go to your public library, and then you could possibly get to freedom-school.com and download that. However, if you don't know anybody or you don't have a car to get to the city library, I invite you to call in at the second half hour and to give your name and your phone number, and then I will hope that one individual that's listening will give you a phone call, download the 2.5 pages, and send them to you. Now, that's about the best I can do. I don't have a computer, and I do not have the wherewithal, being money and everything else, to send out, you know, 50, 100, 200 copies of stuff every week. I just don't have that wherewithal. That's the way it is. However, I do want to address the fact that this is a study-type course, and I'm not interested in going back over something on the air when that just isn't going to work. We won't get anywhere. So I try to apologize, and at the same time I say, look, we're not going backwards. We can discuss what was discussed, but I can't go back over the entire program. That just won't work. We won't get anywhere. So I hope that's understanding for that gentleman, and I would assume, by the way of his interest, from what other individuals called me and told me from his tone, that he has great need of this. So I hope you will call in if you don't know anybody that has
a computer
that
can help,
or you don't have a way to get to the city library. Call in, give your name and phone number, and maybe some kind man or woman will call you and send you the 2.5 pages.
Jerry, can you hear me? Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, barely, Scott. I did not hear the ringtone, though, at all.
Okay. Okay, but you can hear me.
Listening, how about turning the volume up just a little bit, please?
Can you hear me a little better?
It's about the same, and let's see if the station can turn up the volume, your volume, just a little bit. Not you, but the station can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm close to the phone talking in a louder type voice.
All right, talk in a normal voice, please.
Okay, this is normal for me right here, pretty much.
Okay, I got you, and I can hear that. However, I did not hear the ringtone.
Yeah.
So could you possibly hang up, Scott, and see if the guys in the studio will give me another ringtone, even though
okay,
there's nobody
there.
Now. That's possible to do.
I'm hanging up right now.
Okay. see if I can get a ringtone from inside the studio. Maybe that won't work because no one's calling. Okay, well, we at least can hear the callers, and I'll try to... I don't know how... Maybe if I don't hear a ringtone and you're on the line, folks, speak up a little louder, please, so I can catch you. By the way,
hello?
That's a nice young man that...
Did you catch it?
Pardon me?
Did you catch the ringtone?
No, I didn't catch a ringtone at all.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I just got back.
All right. Well, I appreciate for calling back, Scott, and we'll go forward and maybe somehow, you know, in the studio we can do something about that. But thanks for calling in, Scott.
Okay.
Give me a little hand on that, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
He's a nice young man that has picked up and learned the seventh appointed day, and I've been learning good things about this young man for the last year and a half, and I appreciate his assistance. Okay, we're going to move into the so-called course that's going to be offered today. This would be Chapter 1, Part 1, and this is posted at freedom-school.com. And so if you haven't gone there and you want to go there, now's the time to go. Chapter 1, Part 1. It is entitled, It Is in Front of Your Eyes. I don't have a computer. I don't know how to use a computer, but I know that I've talked to quite a number of people that have found it and do have it in their hands right now. The other way to describe this instead of in front of your eyes is another way to describe it would be from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate, saith the Lord. So, I hate evil, and I'm sure that most of you folks probably hate evil. However, you have to figure out what is evil and what is not evil. And that is why, under Chapter 1, Methods of Deception, will be offered, and there should be a significant number of parts that will be posted up over the next 26 weeks. However, not all of the parts will be verbalized on this one-hour adventure. So, periodically, you might want to check back to a chapter. Okay, now we're going to move to page 1 of part 1, chapter 1, labeled A. The beginning of it is pretty simple. This was just a test page. It was sent out to about approximately 20 different individuals. Paragraph 2. This is important. To some is given knowledge, and to some of those is given wisdom, and to some of those is given understanding. With understanding comes great sorrow. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is a more accurate description of what the truth is. I hear the truth over and over and over from good guys, bad guys, and medium guys. And they say, well, this is the truth. Well, you can't get the truth unless you have some knowledge. And you can't get wisdom unless you got some years under your belt. There's not a whole lot of folks that are, you know, 15, 16, got a whole lot of wisdom. They haven't had a whole lot of time to understand a lot. And I'm not trying to put down the 15-year-olds either. And to some of those is given understanding. Well, understanding is the time to contemplate, to figure it out, to see how the knowledge and the years and how it comes to play and how it comes together. That's how you arrive at truth. Truth isn't because, hey, this is the truth, kids. You know, that's the dumbed-down version. That's the version you're supposed to swallow. Everybody says, well, I'm telling you the truth. No, you have to listen to what they say. And do they have any wisdom? Do they have any understanding? Quite frankly, I really don't hear a whole lot of people that take the time to explain the difference. That's critical. Now, of course, the next sentence says, of course, the beginning is Proverbs 1:7. I went over it last week. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise instruction. and knowledge, or wisdom. All right, now moving it down to paragraph 4. The truth, search for knowledge, can be completely derailed by only one foundational error in each particular arc or angle of the 364-degree circle of knowledge. And then it's further typed, 364 is not a typographical error on my behalf. We'll be getting into the study of time. That's to wake you up and let you know a little bit more about time. And if you make a foundational error in one area and you carry that over to the other area, guess what? You're not going to have truth. You're going to be a long way away. We move on to the next page, which is got a little label A up there, and the top of the square is cut off because my photocopier cut it off. This is a very simple page. It's right in front of you. This is from Webster's New 20th Century Dictionary, unabridged, published 1968. And down there, you take a look at number one, the first item. And then the left-hand margin sees see enclosure, page one. So you flip to the very next page, which should be enclosure, page one. And you see a full page that's photocopied out of the Farrar Fenton Bible. Top left-hand corner says that. Also says Fenton's effort was non-institutionally funded and so forth. And you look over in the photocopy and it says, note, and this is by Farrar Fenton, I removed the genealogy verses 23 through 38, 23 was cut off, of chapter 3 and placed it at the end of the gospel for the following reason. It is quite irreconcilable with the one given by St. Matthew, which is capable of verification from the records of the Old Testament. In other words, the genealogy given in Luke is fraudulent. What is the point of that bringing up? The point is the word Shem is the proper word, and in the King James, in the Gospel of Luke, you hear the word Sem, S-E-M. It never occurs except one time, but in the Gospel of Luke. So now we understand where the Sem word got introduced to us. Now we look at number two, and I'm going to read this out loud, please. Under Semitic, of the characteristics or like a Semite or of the Semites. Number two, I said one and I said two and read one, but number two, designating or of a major group of languages of southwestern Asia and northern Africa, related to the Hamitic languages and divided into Eastern Semitic, which is Akkadian, Northwest Semitic, which is Phoenician, Phoenician, Aramaic, Hebrew, and modern Hebrew, etc. Now, ladies and gentlemen, take a look at number two in the margin. Do you see Hamitic languages? Do you see Hebrew and modern Hebrew? Let's visit with that about a second. Modern Hebrew is obviously what's going on right now. What would that Hebrew be the old Hebrew, wouldn't it? Some of y'all been deceived thinking Paleo Hebrew means early Hebrew. No, folks, that means the language prior to Hebrew. We'll be talking about that next week, part two. And the next question, are you from Ham? I didn't write this in, but are you from Ham or are you from Shem? Should be real clear in your mind. Think about it. You got a piece of paper right in front of your eye. Let's move on to page B, which should be the next page after enclosure one. You take a look there at the top. Underline Hebrew and Chaldee dictionary. This should be common sense in the typing above it. I have seen many languages, such as an English to Spanish book for the assistance in usually verbal communication. You know, you want to know what dog means, how do you say it in English, and how you say it in Spanish, so forth. I have never seen two-language dictionary, that is, two different languages in one dictionary. And I ask the question, is it even possible to do so? Well, I guarantee it's not. Now, it's kind of hard to see there because of a little photocopy error, but you can make this out. Number one right there is AB. You can read what it says, the very next word. Ab again. That's from the Chaldee. Move on down. Take a look at it. To Eb, E-B. Ab. Green plant, greenness. Eb, E-B, right below it. Chaldee. Got to start thinking a little bit. Hebrew and Chaldee. Now move to your next page, page C. This is easy, folks. This is from your Strong Steen's Greek Dictionary, the New Testament. Look at words 1444 through 1447. I'm going to read 1446. Hebrew Elif, if I'm pronouncing that right. I.E., for the Jewish, in brackets, Chaldee language, Hebrew. 1447. Hebrew Elikali, in the Jewish Chaldee language, in the Hebrew language. Jewish and Chaldee and Hebrew, same thing. Now you look at page D. This is, I typed this out, I think it was in, 2004 or whatever it was, when I can't remember the date when this one was typed, but I typed one out in about 2002. And it's real clear there, ladies and gentlemen. When you read it, and that's what this is about. This isn't about me going over everything with you. You got the paperwork in front of you. It tells you very clearly in the book of Daniel, chapter 1, that the Chaldeans were the ones that were the ancient enemies of Israel when they were in Jerusalem and destroyed them. And Daniel could not speak Chaldee. He was speaking something else. They didn't have any Paleo-Hebrew back in Daniel's time. He had to be speaking a different language. The point of the exercise is you got all kinds of people running around and saying, well, see, we have to figure out what the Hebrews, the Chaldeans, the Canaanites, what their interpretation is. And you wonder why you kind of messed up? You wonder why these people don't know what they're talking about? Because they're using the Canaanite language to give you a definition. The Canaanites are your enemy. Jacob I love, Esau I hate. The Lord hateth evil. We are supposed to hate evil, but if we don't know what evil is, how are we going to know what to hate? And by that same token, how are we going to know what to love? Does that make any sense to anybody? That you got to figure out who your bad guys are and who your good guys are? Now, I want you all that are listening right now to figure out how many preachers and pontificators that say they know something about the Word of God. It's right in front of you, your eyes, and it's right in front of their eyes. It is now becomes your individual responsibility and duty to download this stuff and stop allowing your brothers and sisters to study Canaanite, which is what the Chaldeans are. And it tells you clearly who these Canaanites are. They're Semites. S-E-M. They are not Shemites. That is a figment of your imagination to say they're both the same thing. Now let's get ready. Let's start acting like one of these ants on the beginning of the show, the music. Let's start knocking down some of these rubber trees and snatch them out by the roots and then pick them up and beat them over the head. Let's get ready to be warriors in the Christ. Let's stand for His laws. Let's stand up and get out of this Babylonian jurisdiction. Let's start getting squarely under the Father's jurisdiction. And let us be servants in bondage to His only begotten Son, the Christ. You may look in your strong scenes and look up the word bondage, and you will find that if you have eyes and ears, you want to be under His bondage. This free and standing alone, by yourself, that is a crock of, I can't even say it, that'd probably kick me off the air. That's a crock. Start looking at your Father's law. Start getting under His jurisdiction. Start finding out who the evil ones are. Learn how to identify them. And those that you take this very simple part to, and they deny it, well, maybe they just don't have eyes and ears. And you know what? You're going to catch some heat. You're going to catch a lot of heat by this. Because there's a lot of people, they can't admit that they make a mistake. And the sign of a man and a woman is when bold, clear evidence is put in front of them that they made a mistake. And then they go, oh, my God, I've spent 30 or 40 years of my life and I've been doing this wrong. And then, you know, they say, oh, Lord, how are you going to forgive me? Well, the Lord will forgive you. And now you know what you're doing wrong. And now you go out and you don't do it wrong again. But you can't just keep on doing the same thing because, golly gee, all your friends might not like you. Well, who do you care whether they like you or not? I care about one thing. Whether or not the Father and the Christ are going to maybe allow my name to be into that book alive. And I don't want the Christ to take it out. He's the only one, the Lamb of God, that only has that ability. No guile was found in him. He is my master. He should be, and I pray that the ones that are listening have eyes and ears. He should be your master. And I'm only an attempting servant. You know, someday maybe I'll be allowed to have the title of servant. And maybe someday I'll be allowed to have the title of observant, of doing everything according to the Father's will. Think about that for a second. Are you doing what he wants, or are you doing what is convenient? Are you going along to get along? Are you afraid that your wife or your kids, your husband, whatever the situation, is going to say, oh, you're becoming like a radical. You know, in the Word of God, it's called being zealous for loving the Lord. It's not radical. That's what we're designed to do. But, you know, we've been kind of messed up. We're not acting like them planktons I talked about last week. We're not following what he said. We're worried about, you know, do we have a new car? Are we worried about what the IRS or some kind of goofy law enforcement guy is going to do to you? Go into the Father's jurisdiction. That's what this one-hour offering is about. That's what we're going to start digging into in the coming weeks. Like I said, this is the second of the 26-week series. And as we keep going, I will assure you it's going to get a little bit tougher on certain individuals. Bottom of the half hour. We join y'all after we get this to get back. Thanks.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Hi, Nicholas here. I used to lug those big jugs to the market to fill with water from those coin-operated filter machines, 25 cents a gallon or 5 gallons for a buck. I used to. Then I got the Big Berkey. Now I save my back and hundreds of dollars, too. I was paying $600 for the same 3,000 gallons of water that a pair of black Berkey filters will provide from my own tap for only $99. This means that your Berkey water system will entirely pay for itself with only 1,500 gallons of use, and then you will still have 1,500 gallons left before you need to replace the filters. Do the math. Stop throwing your money away on bottled water and filter dispensers that may or may not be delivering as promised. For a limited time, First Amendment Radio is offering 10% off on the most popular Berkey water systems. Visit the shopping page at firstamendmentradio.com or call us at 559-781-3773 for more information. Leave your name and address and we'll send you this special offer. Do it now. First Amendment Radio is an authorized distributor of Berkey products.
Now listen to me. The Bible says, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. I want you to know that a corporation is Caesar.
Government takeover of the church. This DVD is the most powerful tool we have for waking up those asleep in the pews. The scripture calls for his people to come out of her. The corporate church is the apostate church, the whore that rides the beast. Get this DVD for a donation of $25 from firstamendmentradio.com. Make copies and give them away to your corporate church friends and loved ones. The truth will make them free. They will watch the DVD, Government Takeover of the Church. Order online today at firstamendmentradio.com or call 559-781-3773. Who will tell them if not you?
Once I get you up there where the air is rarefied, we'll just glide starry-eyed. Once I get you up there, I'll be holding you so very near, you might even hear a whole gang of cheers just because we're together. Weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day. You just say those words and we'll take our birds down to Acapulco Bay. It's so perfect for a flying honeymoon. Oh, babe, come fly with me. Let's fly, let's fly. Pack up, let's fly away.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen that have eyes and ears, for listening to the second half hour of the gathering offering. Normally at this time I would ask for call-ins. However, I'm going to request that you hold any calls for about five more minutes. I am not through dipping my sword, as in Jeremiah says, cursed be he that refuses to dip his sword in blood. Now, what is the implications of just one item of what we're talking about here, about going back to the Hebrew? And some people could accuse me of being guilty of this. However, I went along on purpose to hear for two or three years the Hebrew methods from people. I kept my mouth shut and just listened to them, to study them. But when we look up in Strong's things and we look up the word Lord, we go to number 3068. And people want to call it Yahweh, Jehovah, Yahshua. They want to get all these different fancy type names that sound like they know something. Well, let's read what it says. The Jewish national name of God, that's your enemy. That's the enemy's name of their God. Their God is Satan. And you have been deceived and not following what the Christ says in Matthew chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. You can't argue with me. You're going to have to try and argue with the Christ. It says very clearly, and Peter speaking, thou art the only begotten Son of the living of the Father in heaven, the ever-living, the Christ. He didn't say Jesus, didn't say Yahweh, didn't say Yahshua, or any of them things. And then the Christ answers back to Peter and says, blessed art thou, Peter, for that was given to you by heavenly means, not earthly means. Now, you can either believe the Christ, that his name is the Christ, or you can believe that his name is Yeshua, or any kind of other Yiddish name. And you can believe that the Father's name is the Father. You speak English. The book was written in English. You don't go back to the enemy's language and start calling what you think and in your heart and your mind and everything that you think. You've been working on this for years, people, and I know that. But you've been lied to. You've been deceived. And there's nothing worse than I hate is a liar. But what I even hate worse than that is when I fall for a lie. Because that means I didn't use my brain. I didn't use my noodle. And I get mad at myself because blame has to come back to the individual. We don't blame somebody else. We blame ourselves because we were deceived. And we weren't smart enough to do our homework. Let's get on the phone. Let's get on your computer. Let's get on your telephone conference calls and get people to download these pieces of paper and just show them the Jewish national name of God. Their God is Satan. And you think you're praying to the Christ and you're calling out, hey, Satan, Yahweh, Yeshua. My goodness, people. Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17. So I'm through with this first part of the program of dipping my sword in some blood. And I hope it cuts these Canaanites to the core. Mossad, my name is Jerry Kirk. And I stand directly behind my master, the Christ. You want my phone number? Go to freedom-school.com. You want to get my land location? Go look it up. And if you got any guts, bring enough to see if my left hand will operate. Don't just send two or three midnight assassins. Let's have at it, gentlemen. Let's get some cameras. I'll be happy to have at it with y'all. Grant my prayer, Father. Let me die for your son. Let me die for your laws, Father. That's my prayer. Been my prayer since 1992. And it's on my van, front and back. Nobody misses me when I go down the road. Some people say I didn't get enough mother's milk. And I need more attention. Yes, sir, I'm trying to get my prayer. As the Christ says, he who thinks to gain his life shall lose his life. He who loses his life for my sake shall gain his life. And when you understand death, and when you understand it, it will be the beginning of the greatest adventure of your life, whether it be to the positive or to the negative. Then you understand, we only get to die with one thing. That is our integrity, our honor, our commitment to the Christ and to the Father's laws. When you die with them things, then you get what you want. Unless you want hell. Unless you want the lake of fire. Anyway, I hope I wasn't too hard on some of y'all folks. I do understand of how difficult it is to get punched in the mouth and get knocked down. But, you know, if you're just going to wallow in the mud, I don't want to talk to you anyway. But the man and the woman of eyes and ears, they'll stand up. They'll get back out of the mud and the blood, and they'll stand up, and they'll be bigger, better and stronger. And those are the kind of folks I want to visit with. Anyway, the call-in number is 1-559-781-3883. I'll repeat that. 1-559-781-3883. This is not a toll-free number, so if you don't have a one rate on your phone, you can expect toll charges, maybe 8 cents, maybe 10 cents a minute, whatever your phone costs. If I do get a caller, I will try to listen up for a tone, which I'm having troubles in this show hearing, and I will try and finish up with that in particular individual so you're not on too long. However, in the interim time, in case somebody, you know, doesn't seem to be knocking down the doors about wanting to call in, and I could probably understand that if somebody had just punched me like maybe I punched some of y'all. Might even, if some people might have used a knee right into your chest. I hear all the time on various other so-called talk radio. By the way, this is not a talk radio. This is hopefully verbal intercourse. I'm not interested in talking. I'm interested in trying to share some information, of which I actually think boils down to the truth once you understand knowledge, wisdom, understanding, fear of the Lord. I hear people all the time complaining, well, the government's doing this to me. And they're doing this, and they're raising our taxes, and they're trying to force us to have insurance, and they're blowing up our money, and we should return to the Constitution, and we need to do all that. And they're crying every damn day, show after show after show. That's called weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, what is the reason that people are crying like that? The reason is real simple. They want to have a government by men. One of men's ideas. Now, let us go to 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'm not going to do the entire chapter of, 22 verses. But I'm going to start in verse 7. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. So now, in verse 10, we pick up, and Samuel told all the words of the Lord unto the people that asked of him a king. And he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your son and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and his instruments of chariots. Well, golly gee, don't we have a lot of war materials in this country? Chariots, jet planes, missiles, instruments of war, nuclear bombs, chemical warfare, biological warfare. Sounds pretty much like, you know, Samuel kind of had this right since he was speaking the words, Lord. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to a servant. Golly gee, are people talking about their homes being foreclosed and being kicked out on the street? Do they violate the law where it says the borrower is servant to the lender? Oh, and they wonder why they're having trouble. I wonder what king allowed them to do that. How about all the king's men from all the course of time? And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. Golly gee, if you know, he's got officers. I wonder what Bernanke gets. I wonder what Geithner gets. What are their payoffs? What was Greenspan's payoff? What was Kissinger's payoff? How much money did they get? How many little children did some of those guys possibly get to have? That's what Canaanites like to do. They like to be abominations. They like to enjoy individuals of the same sex. I call it queers. And when they talk about, well, there's hate laws out there, well, golly gee, I hate evil. And I will stand behind the Lord's words. If he hates evil, I hate evil. And if he tells me something is evil, I'll hate it too. And if they don't like it, tough toenails. We'll see someday, maybe the Lord will give me a chance to use my left arm, see if it works. Of course, I'd love to see if it works, see if my right arm works too. Maybe you might look up in your Word of God what using your left arm and your right arm is. Because clearly, ladies and gentlemen, I am using my right arm today because the CIA and Mossad and all the Canaanites like to listen in to these type shows. And they are getting my sword dipping in their blood, and they know it. And I love it because I hate evil. And once we root out evil out of the world, not just this land, and we go back under the Father's law, which is coming a lot sooner than a lot of people believe, we're then going to have good here. And when we have good, we're still going to have to be on guard. We always have to be on guard. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. And he will take the tenth of your sheep and you shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in the day because of your king, which you have chosen, which have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. And if you're still calling and say, well, we're going to vote in a new set of criminals to Congress or your state house. Now, they're not all criminals. They're just pretty dumb. They get up there and think, well, this is the way we got to do it to get done. They can't read history. They can't see even to the history of the United States. It has been one abomination after another abomination. They lie to you. Every 5-6 years, we get some youngins come along and, well, we're going to return to the Constitution. We're going to have a sovereignty meeting and all this other garbage. And everybody gets all fired up. You get a little bit older and you see it's never worked because it's man's government. And that's what a little bit of that wisdom comes into play. And then a little understanding, you go back and you read about these kings that we asked for. Where I allowed for 42 years of my life for me to believe in the Constitution of the United States. I called myself a conservative constitutionalist, unfortunately, in the Republican Party. I couldn't stand the abominations in the Democratic Party in Central Florida, being Orlando. Couldn't even stand walking in a room with them type people. And then I decided in late 89, a retired judge named Bob, I won't name his last name because I ain't asked permission, but he's a good man, about 82 right now. Got a little bit of physical problems, but boy, I'm telling you what, you wouldn't want to get into a mental debate or a verbal debate with that gentleman. He's got some talent. He's got his brain. We decided to write all 13 of the original so-called colonies. And you know what we did? We asked them for the enabling legislation to have a constitutional convention. And you know what? Their paperwork came back and said, we only authorize a meeting for the amending of the Articles of Confederation. Nowhere did they have any authorization, enabling legislation, to allow a constitutional convention. Never was. Never happened. And in their rules that each of the states put forth, it said they couldn't have a quorum. A quorum means, you know, let's say 5 or 6 of the people, they had the flu or they stayed out, you know, and drank a little too much the night before, so they couldn't make the meeting. So everybody said, well, you know, those 5, they're out with the flu, so we're just going to have a quorum so we can have a meeting. No, the law said you can't have quorum. That's why a few of the guys left. Because they knew this was wrong. And then it says that you can have no less than 1 signature from each state and no more than 7. Well, why don't you look in your Constitution, ladies and gentlemen? You see, from New York, there's only like 1 guy signed it, Alexander Hamilton. Well, we'll get back to him in a second. And then look up there, Pennsylvania, there's 8 people that signed. How'd they get past that? No more than 7. They got too many signed there, Pennsylvania. Alexander Hamilton, everybody says, well, golly gee, he was a great guy. He was the first Attorney General of the United States. He argued the first income tax case in front of the Supreme Court. John Jay presiding, Chief Justice. Now, some people that studied understand that Hamilton wrote the Federalist Papers. And in those, he said, there's no more than 3 or 4 types of income tax. Well, why don't you read the first case in front of John Jay where the new Attorney General, Alexander Hamilton. He now argues there's 10, maybe 11 or 12 income taxes. Want to know why you got a lot of taxes, kids? Right there, right, 1802, John Jay, Chief Justice, presided. Alexander Hamilton. Of course, he was lying about his name. His daddy was Governor Greenberg, the governor of Haiti. He was, you know, an English aristocracy. And his mama happened to be a Haitian, a natural Haitian. So if you actually look at any drawings about the so-called founding fathers, and you see a fellow of color in there, now you know who Alexander Hamilton was. Just a real damn shame that Aaron Burr didn't kill him when he had, you know, about 20 or 30 years earlier. we might have been better off in this country. But I doubt it too much. Them Cainites got plenty of replacements. Then you read in there that nobody can, only the authorized representatives from each individual state are allowed to sign. Well, you find out when you do an investigation, golly gee, this guy wasn't there, so he had his son sign. This other guy wasn't there, so he had somebody else sign. Somebody else wasn't there, and they had somebody else sign. It's complete total fraud. Then you see that they have to ratify it by a certain date. And when you look in your copy of the Constitution, it gives you dates of ratification. Except, ladies and gentlemen, that is the date that it was submitted to the state legislatures. That is not the date of when the individual state houses ratified. Get the list. See the date that the individual state houses ratified, and they never got six states to agree by the required time frame. Never happened. You say, oh, well, this guy's running down America the Beautiful. Now I'm running down man's government. America the Beautiful is our people. America the Beautiful is the concept that we have fallaciously assumed that we're operating under. Look at your facts. Look at your history. There's a saying, those that fail to study history are destined to repeat it. These are all verifiable items. You have state house representatives and senators. And some of y'all happen to know, there's one that's on Sundays. He's on trying to do some good. I'll name his first name Jim. He's from Missouri. He's got the capacity to write a letter to North or South Carolina or Maryland or New York or Pennsylvania and get the enabling legislation. You see, I'm not going to throw you a whole fish. I'm going to show you how to fish. Difference. Learning how to fish as opposed to just getting a cooked fish. It is the due diligence. It's the diggers, the searchers. Next week, we're going to be having part two of this. And I challenge somebody to find the type of documentation by book, chapter, and verse. Because we're going to dip a little bit of the sword a little bit more next week. And if this kind of offends you and say, oh, well, golly geez, he's kind of hurting my preacher and these other pontificators. They give you four and five names, all of them Hebrew, calling out to the satanic name of God, of their God. Tough toenails. We're going to dip a little bit more next week. The following week, we should happen to, if things work out, we should have some regular average show ensues that we'll each get a one-half hour of the one-hour deal here on the fourth week. And they will be allowed to present their subject. They're not going to talk about purple people eaters. I don't know what they're going to talk about. One of the individuals has agreed, as far as I know, to come on. The other individual is concerned that they might get too many phone calls. I hope that individual is listening. And I hope in Ohio somebody can understand and receive the letter to how to handle that problem. And I've never met these individuals, but I heard their tone, I heard their attitude, and I liked it. And I hope they will come forward and assist their brothers and sisters, because I both believe both of those individuals have something to communicate to all of us. Now, again, I'm not an expert on this stuff, and it looks like I've kind of run out of my flapping my jaws right here, and they're not playing any music, and I didn't hear any phone calls, which is kind of surprising, because, again, I actually had two individuals that say they were definitely going to call in. So I think I've got to work on trying to hear the phone calls and to hear maybe the callers, but I heard nothing. Maybe I was just running my mouth too fast. But somewhere, I need to get a little help on this subject, because it's hard for me to believe that two individuals did not call. Something happened. But I couldn't hear Scott either time on the ringtone. And I do need a little help on that, gentleman, at the studio, if you possibly can. It's a little late in case anybody calls right now. I hope you understand that my entire method is to follow the Father's law. Come under his jurisdiction, learn it, use book, chapter, and verse against the Canaanites, against those of the seed of Satan. Those aren't my words, that's Christ. He speaks to the Pharisees. He says, you are the seed of the devil. Now, I didn't say that. He said it. Do you think seed is something that's a spiritual in your mind thing? Ladies and gentlemen, that's the seed. That's that physical thing that goes into a woman and impregnates her, and then you get a baby. He also says, your father was a liar, being Satan. And he was a liar from the beginning, and you are liars. And that's the kind of people I don't like. I don't like people lying to me. I want you to think about that. Do you like somebody to lie to you? You've now had part one. You can see the photocopy. You can read the little one-page dissertation that I wrote up in 2000, and I think I did something else in 2004. And you can think about this. You can study this. And it's probably going to hurt a little bit. And there's not a whole lot I can do about the hurt except tell you, we're going to get stronger. We're going to get better. And we will do what the Lord says, because he's coming to rule with a rod of iron. And if we don't do what he says, that rod of iron is just going to kind of go smush, fly. I did hear a little beep right there that sounded like that's the beep for like one more minute, and then they go to music. So I heard that beep right there, but I didn't hear any others in the studio, guys. And I thank you for that beep, but somehow I got to get the volume up on those beeps, please. I hope that you all have a very pleasant next 7 days, and I'm enjoying the seventh appointed day, which started at 12 noon today, and will continue till 12 noon tomorrow. Thank you.
The problem now, of course, is to simply hold your horses. To rush would be a crime. 'Cause nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it. Nice and easy does it every time. Like the man says one more time. Nice and easy does it.